Last Sunday evening, we started a study about the way of fools. We mentioned at the time that we could approach the study from a positive side and look at the way of wisdom, which the Lord teaches much about that, and we do need to do that sometime, maybe soon. But the Lord also does approach things from the negative side in His Word a lot of times, warning us of the wrong ways and to not go down those paths, and will describe for us the characteristics, the pitfalls, the problems, and what will happen in the end if we do pursue the wrong road and not the road that leads to eternal life and following the Lord in His ways. And so the way of fools is something that God describes in His Word. We have a lot of material about that in the Old and in the New Testaments, and we see some common themes that come up over and over again throughout God's Word. Of course, we see a lot of teaching on that subject in the book of Proverbs, and we went to that book a few times last week. We plan to do so also tonight, so that's one you might want to have ready to get to. If you're old-fashioned and still use a real Bible, or not, then you can be ready to tap your screen and hit Proverbs on whatever electronic device you might be following along with. But however you do it, we will plan to go to the book of Proverbs a few times tonight in our study, as well as some other books too, in the Old and the New Testaments, as we continue our study about the way of fools. Now, the focus of our study tonight and what we're going to look at is really different aspects of a common problem that's a characteristic of the way of fools or foolishness, and that is having a lack of self-control. So in a sense, tonight's study is going to be about self-control. But we can see different manifestations of a lack of restraint or self-control. Now, if we go back to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, to chapter 11, we've all heard of the Tower of Babel. I mean, the little kids here remember that, should remember that account also, even if they don't know that it's Genesis chapter 11. And even if we're grown and don't remember that's the chapter, we'll see that's where it is. But verse 1 of Genesis 11 says, "The whole earth was of one language and of one speech." Now we're going to see the product of that as the world was united together, one language, one speech. Everybody was together, and unfortunately, as the world is today, lying in wickedness and in foolishness, so it was also in this time. But what happens when you have a great number of foolish people all together, working together in their foolishness with no restraints? Well, that's what we see here. He says in verse 2 that it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do." So there was the problem with that. And by the way, where are things heading today in our time? With a lot of the, and I think we all enjoy some of the conveniences of our technological advancements and everything, but what's really happened to barriers between men around the world, mankind that is, and nations and so forth? Well, everything is really getting very tied together, tied very closely together. And it's becoming much like what we see here, if you really think about it, much more so than any time in history since this time that we're reading about in Genesis 11. And what do we also see going on with that? As everybody, as the world becomes, you know, they'll describe it as a big village now. But as the world becomes tied together by technology, and anybody can communicate with anybody instantly, and just about everybody speaks English around the world now, at least as a second language. What's happening as everybody's able to get together and work together in a foolish and wicked world? Well, we see a lot of the advancements along that pathway very rapidly, don't we? Well, that's what was happening here. But look at that characteristic that God described there when man in all of his foolish ways when they were all together, he says there was nothing that would be restrained from them which they imagined to do. Of course, that's when God then determined to confuse mankind with all the languages and separated them. That's what happens down through verse 9. But they would not restrain themselves. That was the point. In their foolishness, they would not control themselves. Whatever they imagined to do, they would then set forth and do that. That's not a good thing, but it is characteristic of foolishness. And we'll see that manifested in a number of ways. At the root of that is a love for this world and the things of it. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We all know this one, but he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, when the Lord spoke about mankind back there in Genesis 11 and in that place, Babel, that there would be nothing to restrain them from any of their imaginations, well, what kinds of things would they imagine? And what would they then do but pursue their own desires, these lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life? And that's really what mankind is after, these things of the world. And so out of a love for these things of this world, then man is not going to restrain himself or control himself from pursuing all of those things. So you could see really from that basis, we could go into a study of a number of different things. Really any kind of, any specific type of sin and wickedness will be some manifestation of that. So it's kind of wide open to us which way to go now as we study. But we do want to look at a few particulars that God will over and over associate with this word folly or foolishness, that he'll say this is a very foolish way to go. But it will be in keeping with this love of the world and a lack of restraint or control of oneself and pursuing after these worldly, physical pleasures and the pride of life. Romans chapter 1, let's turn over there. This particular chapter lists many of these things, but it's describing the world and describing a world without any self-control. Romans chapter 1, starting verse 21, he says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So here, what kind of heart did they have? What kind of heart does the world have collectively? It's a foolish heart that becomes darkened. But the world as a whole, and every individual member of humanity, do we know that there's a God? Yes, we all do. And he says they knew God, but they glorified him not as God when they knew God. And so that at that point, they weren't thankful. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Well, what kinds of things do men do from a foolish and dark heart? Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what happens. Well, how many people today will be very, very proud and boastful about things and consider themselves to be so much more enlightened and so much more knowledgeable than, for example, we are? Those of us who believe in God and believe in following Christ and believe in the Word of God, word for word, literally. Well, we will be mocked and ridiculed, and we'll be called all kinds of names, referring to how backwards or ignorant and unenlightened we are and all those kinds of things. So you see those types of terms that are still bandied about, that are thrown around today by ones who consider themselves to be so wise. But what are they in fact? While they're professing themselves to be wise, what's the characteristic that they have that the Lord says in verse 22? They became fools. And in verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Look at the pleasures of this world and the pursuit of those things, these pleasures of the world that people are loving, and then how they will not control themselves in pursuit of that pleasure, whatever that physical pleasure is. And look at that listing of things and the description of things there. And just consider what's going on around us right now. And how many of these things are not on the rise or growing as far as those who would boldly participate in them. I mean, how much of these things that he names do we not see becoming more and more common in our world today? I mean, this is a perfect description of our day and time right now, just as it was at the time it was written almost 2,000 years ago. But this is describing a world that loves pleasure, that does not love God. And that's where we were looking last week at the root problem here of the way of fools, is not desiring to glorify God as God, what he mentioned in verse 21, not wanting to live only for God. And so here's a desire then to love this world and pursue the pleasures of this world. That's the way of fools, with no control over oneself. And look at all the things that people will go into when they will not control themselves. And we've already considered some of that last week, and a lot of the immorality that exists, and how often the Lord used the word foolish or folly in describing the immoral deeds that, and some of the most notable ones from the Bible that we can recall. We went over a few of those last week, the incident in Shechem in Genesis 34 concerning Dinah, Jacob's son, daughter, and what happened there. And then also the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 22 and 21, what he prescribed as far as punishment for a young woman who would shame her father's house by going into immorality. And we also remember from Judges 19 and 20 what happened in Gibeah of Benjamin in that situation, which resulted in a civil war in Israel and an almost complete annihilation of the tribe of Benjamin. And Amnon, what he did with his half-sister Tamar in 2 Samuel 13. And in all those cases, that word was used to describe what those ones were doing. And they wrought folly. They worked foolishness in their immorality. Excuse me. So we see that as being one of the major characteristics of those who will not control themselves. But there's some other manifestations of that as well. What about out of a love for material things? What happens and what people will get into out of their love for material things and coveting those things? Money and the things that money will buy. Well, we again can go back to the Old Testament and consider some of the deeds that were done at that time. You remember in Joshua chapter 7, after Jericho fell and what Achan did. Thank you very much. I have a great wife there. But at any rate, remember what happened in Joshua 7 after the fall of Jericho in chapter 6. And Achan took of the accursed things of Jericho and buried them in his tent. But you remember what he buried there? Well, Joshua chapter 7 names what were the items that were found there in Achan's tent and the things that they uncovered there when they went to his place. There was, in verse 21, and Achan himself mentioned this Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. He says, I coveted them and took them. And then he put them in the ground under his tent. Well, he caused the entire camp of Israel to be cursed out of his covetousness for those things and taking what God said was cursed to Israel. Those things from the fall of Jericho were strictly to be reserved for God and to his service, not for the spoil for any of the people of Israel. But he coveted those things, and that, of course, became a great problem for the entire nation of Israel. on that occasion. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 11 is another example that's mentioned in God's Word and how wicked Israel had become during Jeremiah's time. But he said in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 11, "As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool." Well, there the Lord was pointing out the foolishness of that covetousness. And that was something that afflicted the entire nation at that time. In fact, in chapter 8, that was something he mentioned in verse 10, where he said, "Everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness." So he said that was a problem that afflicted the entire nation of Israel at that time. Well, here he said the ones who were getting riches and not by right. And of course, how many evil things are done? How many evil deeds are committed by people in this world because of their pursuit after money and the things that it buys? Well, I think we all remember what the New Testament says about that. 1 Timothy, chapter 6 is coming, but while we're on the way to chapter 6, let's pause by 1 Timothy chapter 3 for just a moment. The qualifications of elders that are given there. He said, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous." Not greedy of filthy lucre and not covetous. Those are qualifications that an elder in God's church must meet to not be those things. Well, if that's good for an elder in the church, wouldn't God desire all Christians to have those same traits or qualities, characteristics, qualifications, that none of us would be greedy of filthy lucre and none of us would be covetous? Well, I mean, obviously, God doesn't want any of us to be covetous and to be greedy of filthy lucre. And of course, that's we still use the term dirty money. I mean, people will pursue after things in an unrighteous way, do whatever they have to do to get it. And how many crimes committed in our day and time are in some way related to people trying to get more money? I mean, that's just involved in probably a majority of them, for sure. But it's something chapter 6 here in 1 Timothy also speaks about, teaches about. Verse 6 of 1 Timothy 6 says that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what the truth is. And we need to understand that, and we need to have an appreciation and have the wisdom to recognize what true gain is. And it's godliness with contentment. And he says in verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts." See that word again? Foolish and hurtful lusts. The will to be rich, does he say you even have to attain it? That desire to have it is foolish and will lead to all these temptations and snares, into many and foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Then verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In the next verse, he tells his children, "O man of God, flee these things." We should run away from that. Run away from a love of money, a love of material things, a pursuit after the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. As we see, that's what the world is after. But that is the way of fools. We need to have control over ourselves and our desires and not pursue those things that way, because that is the way of foolishness. We need to control ourselves. Now, in Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, this was something that the Apostle Paul preached. On this occasion, Acts chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, this is something he preached to one of the Roman officials named Felix. It says, "After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now, the very next verse says how he had hoped that money would be given him of Paul. that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. So he kept calling him back because he kept hoping Paul would produce a bribe, give him money. So all the while Paul is teaching him self-control. That's what temperance means, to have self-control and of the judgment to come and of righteousness. Well, when he heard those things, when he's saying, you've got to follow what's right, you've got to control yourself because there's going to be a judgment day coming. How did he respond to those facts and those teachings? He trembled. And people, when they hear that, they will tremble. And most people don't want to hear that. In fact, they'll stop that from reaching their ears if they can. And Felix dismissed it himself and said, I'll call for you when it's more convenient. Well, did it ever get convenient for him to listen to that? It doesn't appear so. It was only convenient for him to call Paul to try to get some money out of him. That's what he was after. So he was following the way of foolishness. But we need to listen to these teachings from the Lord and remember, we've got to follow after righteousness and temperance. We've got to control ourselves because there's going to be a judgment to come and we need to be ready for that. Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit are taught about in these verses. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, he gives the works of the flesh, and then 21 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. 19 through 21, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That sounds a lot like what we read in Romans 1 a while ago. And these are all the parts of this way of fools and foolishness. But in verse 22, he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There, that last one, he mentions temperance, controlling ourselves. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. But we do need to have control over ourselves and rein in our own desires and make sure that our will is to do the Lord's will and not pursue our own desires and the love of this world. Now, we can change in this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look what he says about the Corinthians in verses 9 through 11 here. He says, now you know that the unrighteous... Or know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you, he said, but they weren't anymore. They turned away from that. They turned away from the way of foolishness to follow the right way. And we need to do the same, of course, and we can. But part of that is controlling ourselves and restraining ourselves from pursuing after these evil things, these foolish things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we are commanded to grow in this. Let's look at 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So there are the things step by step from faith through love that we're to be growing in, and right there in the midst of that we see temperance, controlling ourselves. That's something we have to add. And he says in verse 8, for if these things be in you, which includes temperance of course, and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Because that's the way of wisdom and righteousness, and not the way of fools. But we have to grow in temperance in order to be following the right ways. Now, one of the other things that we can see, let's go over to the book of Proverbs for a little bit and see another manifestation of a lack of control that's typical of the way of foolishness. And he will over and over use the word fool or foolish, folly, to describe in not controlling our emotions, particularly anger. And that's something that gets a lot of attention in God's Word, and in particular in the book of Proverbs, that he points out as part of the way of foolishness. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. So somebody who, as soon as something bothers them, they're going to get upset and whammo, you're immediately going to know they're angry, because it's going to be presently, it's going to be immediately known. What kind of person is that that's going to, that's what we call flying off the handle, isn't it? Somebody's going to very quickly get angry, and immediately that's going to be manifested. It will be presently known. He says that's a fool that does that. That somebody who's righteous and in control of themselves is not going to do that. Chapter 14 and verse 17, he says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. So again, he says that's a way of fools to be soon angry. In verse 29 of the same chapter, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Over and over again he says that. We don't want to exalt folly, but that's what we're going to be doing if we're hasty of spirit, if we're not in control of ourselves and we are soon angry. In chapter 16 and verse 32, he says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. Now, when we speak of temperance or self-control, he's describing that when he talks about a man who rules his spirit. That's the opposite of being hasty in spirit. When we have rulership, control over our own spirit and what we do, then he says we're stronger than somebody who takes a city. Now, we would consider somebody who's able to conquer a city as being very mighty. Well, he says we're greater than that if we are able to rule our own spirit, if we can control ourselves so that we don't exhibit anger and other foolish things. And in chapter 27, Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. So again and again we see that association between anger and foolishness. In chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13, he approaches it in a little bit different way here. But he says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame to him. Well, part of that's going to go along with, I mean, why is a person not going to hear somebody out? I mean, part of that, what gets in the way a lot of times is somebody's emotions get up, and so they won't listen, and then they get angry, and then they'll behave in a foolish way. So he tells us there that we need to hear a matter before we answer it. We need to make sure that we don't act on anything, that we control ourselves and don't take action on something until we really know all that there is to know about it, and not just fly off the handle and say or do something without first gathering all the facts and making sure that we're in control of ourselves. Chapter 22, Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. He says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. So even associating with people that are walking on the way of fools, I mean, what happens if we're a companion of fools? We're going to hurt for that. We're going to end up being destroyed, in fact. But he says, don't do that. And one of the kind that he mentions specifically there, to not walk with is an angry man, because if we're a companion of that one, we're going to learn his ways and we'll get a snare to our soul. Because we remember chapter 13 and verse 20 where he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, what kind of, one of the kinds of fools that he's describing there that we just saw in chapter 22 was a man that is soon angry. So he says, don't have a companion with somebody like that, because you'll learn those ways. And then you're going to be the one to suffer for that. In the New Testament, we remember Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and following, where he says, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And then verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So there again, controlling ourselves. In fact, we could even look at verse 28 in terms of stealing. That would apply to some things we were looking at a bit ago. But all these ways in which people don't control themselves, we need to exhibit control over ourselves to make sure that we are walking righteously and not in the way of fools. Then the book of James in chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Well, there's a reason why we shouldn't be soon angry. There's a reason why we should put away all anger, because it doesn't work God's righteousness. So we need to control ourselves. And that's what he's teaching in verse 19, to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And that part about being slow to speak, how many times and how many ways does the Lord warn us about that? Whether it's out of anger or not, whatever will be the motivation for us to quickly speak or to speak a lot, he associates that with foolishness, and we need to be very careful there. Verse 26 here in James 1 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Back to Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. I know Mark Twain is well known for speaking a version of what's actually here in these verses in Proverbs, but we're going to look at the words the Lord gave, because that's where the credit belongs and where the wisdom is in this teaching here. But it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So even if somebody doesn't possess the wisdom, if they will keep their mouth shut, they will be counted or considered to be wise. Well, that will be at least one wise thing that they're doing. But to speak and to speak a multitude of words, that's associated with foolishness. We see that also in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, he says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. So there's lots of different places and lots of ways that the Lord tells us to control ourselves. And a big part of that, and really the most difficult part of that, is to be able to bridle our tongues, to control our tongues, where we are being slow to speak and that we're being very careful about what we say. And last week, a major part of our lesson was looking at some of the words that are characteristic of the way of fools, and what they say about God and what they say even about his children. But in so many ways, speaking without thinking, not being slow to speak, that's the way of fools. We need to bridle our tongue so that our religion is not in vain. We need to follow the way of wisdom and righteousness in everything. And of course, all of the Bible is for giving us the details on that. And at some point in the future, we would like to look at what the Lord says in the emphasis of the way of wisdom, and that would be worth our time and study too. So hopefully we'll get to that at some point in time. But tonight, while there is time that we have, because we all don't have a guarantee of another minute, but right now, at this time, you have the opportunity to become a Christian, a child of God, if you've not yet done so. And you may not have another opportunity. This may be the last one. But this is the right time. It is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. It tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. And so if you're here tonight and you need to become a Christian, we're encouraging you to obey the gospel of Christ, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a Christian and need to repent and come back to the Lord, we're encouraging you to do that tonight also, anyone that needs to. So if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation at this time, won't you please come right now while we stand and sing?